Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. We are very happy to be joined by our guest. Rob, I think this officially makes him friend of the show. I think you have now been in studio enough times that we can call you friend of the show. You have to be on the show at least three times in order to cross over the threshold of friend of the show. There's a lot of great people on friend of the show. Patrick Mahomes, Clark Hunt. That's about it. That's all the real great friend of the shows that we have.
Yeah, anything from one to three friends is acceptable, so you're kind of pushing the limit now.
So I have to ask you all of the deep 20, 60-minute football questions, and then we'll get to other things. But how are you feeling? Training camp is about to officially start tomorrow. This is the first time in a long time you haven't been preparing, heading to training camp. How are you feeling? What's sort of your plan here over the next 7 days?
Yeah, it's definitely a weird feeling not, you know, planning specifically for the beginning of training camp with the conditioning tests and all that. You know, I'm still kind of working through the injury. It's taken a bit longer than I was hoping it was going to take. But, you know, that stuff happens, and still doing, you know, rehab every day or every weekday, working through it. And, you know, that's all I can really try to do right now. You know, last time I was on, I said, when I'm healthy, I'll figure it out. And I'm still kind of there, unfortunately. Like I said, I thought I'd, again, be a little further, but, you know, got to live vicariously through the Chiefs for the time being.
What's been the biggest setback in your rehab?
There hasn't been anything in particular that's, you know, I haven't had that like one specific setback, but with, you know, back injuries and discs and nerves, you just never quite know. There's, you know, timelines and there's kind of expectations for what, when things could happen. But, you know, like I said, discs and nerves kind of have a little bit of a life of their own. And, you know, we're just kind of trying to get over that last hurdle and get to a more, you know, consistent, pain-free day-to-day life.
Everything I've read about rehab, and I've never gone through it myself, so you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong on this. Rehab seems like a very lonely thing to do. Like a lot of what you do is you work out with other people, and it's sort of the building of camaraderie and all of the things that come with all of that. This is like you're physically trying to get back to where you were. You're pushing yourself to get there, but no one can really identify with what you're going through. From a mental standpoint, how has this process really been? You're attached from the team or detached from the team in that mindset, but you're also working back to hopefully get back on the Chiefs or get back to another NFL roster.
Yeah, I mean, luckily in this specific instance, you know, I have someone I'm working with every day. So, you know, the quote unquote loneliness, like he's standing there telling me what to do and watching me, and I can, you know, kind of complain to him as much as I want and do all that. But yeah, the thing with rehab is it just gets monotonous. You're doing, you know, in my instance, obviously you're doing a lot of core strengthening stuff and mobility, and it just gets boring doing core and stretching and, you know, all these kind of hyper specific movements to activate certain back muscles. And that's what guys get bored of. You know, luckily we were able to, you know, progress through kind of those first couple months where it is a lot of just laying on a table and very isolated movements, and you know, you can barely move your legs and twist and bend and all those things. So it was nice getting to more, you know, land-based activities and some more proper lifting and sled pushing and more active stuff. That's been good. But yeah, I mean, guys will tell you it's not necessarily the injury that's the issue or the thing that you get bummed about. It's just the monotony of rehab. And you know, I guess it's been 5 months in surgery, and again, it's, you know, a little bit slower than expected, but I didn't have that 9 to 12 month injury where, you know, you really are pushing the limits of just how bored you can get doing, you know, quad sets every day if you got a knee injury.
What's your motivation right now? Everybody's motivation is different. Some players' motivation is to work hard to get that second deal and set themselves up for the rest of their lives. Some people's motivation is to win a championship. Some's the glory and the fame. Whatever your motivation is, not everybody in the league or any profession's motivation is the same. You've won a Super Bowl. You've been an All-Pro. You've made good money. You bought a house. Like, most people, I think, in your scenario wouldn't do this. Hey, I've made X amount of dollars. I'm happy with my wife. I'm going to cook steaks all day and start a YouTube channel and just live the rest of my life and be pain-free. What's your motivation for even trying to come back? Why do you want to come back?
Well, I just want to get fully healthy. I'd say my, you know, kind of short-term motivation is getting back to where my body was before in terms of feeling healthy, not having daily pain, knowing I can do any activity, feel good about it, have the confidence that, you know, I could go play football or I could go golf or I could do this other thing and that my back's going to hold up and I don't have to take extra precautions for it. You know, like we said, I have a nightly stretching routine. You know, it's monotonous. It sucks. I'm, you know, hoping at some point my back is strong enough, my body's strong enough. I don't need to do that every single day. So that's kind of the motivation. It's to get back to, you know, quote unquote, more normal life, what I'm more used to, you know, less pain, confidence in my body, confidence that, you know, my body can hold up to these higher rigors. And then again, from there, we'll kind of figure it out. But obviously, I don't think people want to deal with kind of that having nerve pain or back pain daily. So that's kind of the main focus is getting back to, you know, what I would deem, you know, a fully healthy body and lifestyle.
Right now, we're talking to Mitchell Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, hopefully future Chiefs offensive lineman, joining us in studio today. Right now, during this process, are you talking to your agent? Is it just a, hey, I'll call you whenever I feel good and if I want to play or teams reaching out? Like, sort of behind the scenes, like, you are a free agent technically. What's this process like being a free agent as you try to get back healthy? But as training camp starts, teams kind of look at their rosters, injury happened, and then they determine if you're a player that they want to reach out to.
Yeah, I know teams still contact him, and, you know, we're kind of just sticking with waiting for me to be fully healthy, and then I'll make a decision. You know, again, I mean, I told you months ago, it doesn't really matter if I'm not healthy. If, you know, I have the pain that, I currently have, then unfortunately there's not much of a future, so you know, I got to get back to where I want to be. And then from there, I can evaluate the football future. And, you know, if I don't get to that point, then, you know, unfortunately, you know, might be shorter than we expected. But we're kind of there in terms of talking to teams. So I don't, you know, ask my agent too much about what's going on because, you know, we've kind of made that decision that there's no point in even, you know, figuring out what team, what the future is going to look like until, you know, I feel good enough in my body to even be able to pursue that.
A random question that just popped in my head. You can go back to college and name, image, and likeness is a thing for you. Where would you have wanted to get a deal from? Because I see right now all the offensive linemen are basically just getting food deals. I don't know if you saw like Notre Dame's offensive line. They have like multiple pizza sponsors are sponsoring the offensive line. Where would you have wanted your agent to get you a name, image, and likeness deal?
Man, back then, there's a couple spots on campus, little local shops, so I don't know how much they would have shelled out, but Steve's Korean was awesome. You know, used to go there all the time. There's this sandwich place, Star Meats, best sandwiches I've ever had. So I'd probably try to go there. Honestly, I mean, something like Wingstop or Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, you can't go wrong as a, you know, 330-pound college offensive lineman, getting as many wings as you want. So it'd be all food based again. You know, I wouldn't necessarily need anything else, but I'd try to hit maybe, you know, one thing of each genre. So I, you know, didn't have two pizza companies competing over themselves, but, there are some pretty good spots to choose from, and, you know, mostly a lot of the local joints.
What was the pizza place for you back in college? I went to college in Joplin. It was called Gusano's, where every Tuesday they had 50% off pizza and half-price pitchers, and we would always watch the Tuesday NBA TV game of the week. So wow. It was like that was our thing every Tuesday until the end of the year. I know you have, like, there's one every person who went to college has the one pizza joint they went to.
Yeah, there was two. There was Blondie's and Fat Slice. I always liked Blondie's a little bit better. I remember when I first got there, they had, you know, this is in the Bay Area, and so they had the Hyphy Pizza, which was just obviously perfectly named for those of you who know the music and the area. But I think it was like pepperoni, you know, some sort of like jalapeno, spicy something or other. And there's a lot of ingredients, and it's kind of funky, but it came together really good. So, you know, I kind of always went with Blondie's.
Rob, which one was your pizza place? Is it a Pizza Shuttle? I know Lawrence has like a couple different ones.
So it's an important question. Is it like of sound mind and body, or is it like the end of the night pizza? Because it's two different answers. Because if I'm of sound mind and body, then I'll probably go to Morningstar's. But if it's like the end of the night and I may have had a few pops, it's Pizza Shuttle.
Did you guys have the two different ones? Because I went to school in Joplin, so like we didn't have 2:30 a.m. pizza. It was just you go to Taco Bell or Hardee's and you just figure it out until in the morning. But you went to Cal, like you went to a big Power Five university. What was the late night like Joe's Pizza equivalent?
That's a good question. I didn't really go to parties or drink, so I didn't necessarily need late night food.
You didn't take full advantage pizza. Of being a great athlete in college.
I mean, we also are talking about Cal, so it's not like it was exactly popping, every night. Actually, on my recruiting trip, the guy I was hooked up with that was hosting me, so I think I went, I must have gone later in the year, but there was something, I don't think it was final season, but it might have been midterms, and so they were trying to find like one single party to take me to, that Saturday night, and we literally couldn't find one party all across the entire campus because like everyone was studying, there were no parties, like, so that's the epitome of kind of the Cal social life.
How did that school get Marshawn Lynch then to go there? Because I'm guessing that his official visit was a lot different than your official.
Yeah,
visit.
No, I'm sure that was the case too. I think Marshawn was the party. Marshawn was the party wherever he was. He made it happen. That was also a local thing. I mean, he's from the area and he wanted to go to Cal. No, but there is fun stuff to do. There's parties to go to. I did not search them out. It was not my scene. I don't and still prefer not to be in loud places with a lot of people that are hot and sweaty and drinking alcohol and feeling like crap and then waking up the next morning and feeling even worse. So I still don't really get the appeal of it, and I never quite did. So I can't, unfortunately, answer the two different pizza questions.
I'm really disappointed. The next thing we were going to talk about was your favorite Vegas stories. But obviously, just based on what you just said, you don't have a great Vegas story.
No. I typically still in bed by 10 or 11 every night. I guess it would be waking up early in the morning because I still wake up at like 6:37 and going down to the casino and trying to figure out what people are still there from the night before and what people are bright and early people. But unfortunately, I wouldn't have too many of those either because that's just not the way I go.
We are talking to Mitchell Schwartz. He is in studio for the entire 5 o'clock hour. Very happy to have him here. Coming up on the other side, I have never been to an NFL training camp. Rob has never been to an NFL training camp. You have been to one. We'll talk to you about that experience next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We are happy to be joined in studio right now by Mitchell Schwartz. We'll take some questions coming up later, 913-576-76. And if you got a question for Mitch, be sure to put it on the text line. We will get to it coming up in just a bit. So, I am not an NFL player. I almost had a chance, but I tore my ACL. Coach didn't believe in me. You know, all those cliches that people say. You have gone to an NFL training camp. Let's talk about your very first one, because it's one thing for people to tell you stories of what it's like, but eventually I imagine you go from being a highly touted, Division I Pac-12 player, and now you're low man on the totem pole on an NFL roster. What's that like?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking. I mean, Training camp never really got easier for me. It was still always a really stressful time of year. You know, I wouldn't sleep well. I'd, you know, kind of always had those things going on just because, you know, you're going to get going up against your own D-line. So they have the advantage because they kind of typically practice skews towards the defense in my perspective, especially from the offensive line perspective, because there are certain periods. So you go to 9-on-7, they know it's the run. You go to a pass period, they know it's the pass. You go to, you know, a special situation and you're running a bunch of third downs. Well, again, they know it's pass, it's all third downs. You go to one-on-ones, they know if it's pass or run. So you're kind of put at a disadvantage. They typically know the snap count, they know the quarterback's cadence, so they're getting off the ball better than normal. There's just an element that for whatever reason, like bull rushes and power moves are stronger in practice than they are in games. And I've never figured out why, but like guys just aren't as strong in games as they are in practice. Can't quite figure it out. So from like the physical perspective, it's way harder. I'm not gonna say harder than games because you're going up against like elite guys in games, but it's like a different challenge and it's very hard in practice every day. And so there's kind of the expectation, especially as a rookie, of being the second round pick. They were starting me at right tackle, you know, going up against Jabal Sheard and Jaquay Parker and, you know, these guys who are pretty good players in practice every day and feeling like you're not playing well. And, you know, you're letting the team down for their draft pick. You're letting yourself down because you're not, you know, playing as well, obviously, as you were doing in college, especially, you know, coming off your senior year where you're most likely having a pretty good start, you know, to training camp and to that season. So for me, it's just a very stressful time of year. It's very demanding. You know, you have to kind of find a schedule that works best for you in terms of your recovery, naps, you know, what's going to take your mind off football when you can, trying to relax if possible, hanging out with your buddies, you know, eating right, all these kind of things floating around. So a lot of expectation, you know, both external and internal, and then just kind of finding the way to deal with that best you can.
I love training camp, maybe for a reason like a football player would hate it. Like, to me, it's like watching a reality show, but in person, you know, like you see the implementation of all these things. You get a chance to see the rookies. We get a chance to talk to them at the end of the game. So it's like, all right, for the first 2 weeks, I loved training camp up until the first preseason game. After that, it's kind of like, imagine how you feel. I'm kind of ready to go home at this point, but I just love the daily competition of it. It's secluded. So it's just, all right, you're here in this place for the next hour and 45 minutes. You are going to watch football. And it's funny you say that you feel like the drills are slanted towards the defense. I kind of feel like they're slanted toward like skill position players, like wide receivers. We were kind of making a joke earlier. Like, there's always going to be that really shifty wide receiver that like really shines during this period because you can't hit them like you normally can.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, of course, I think of everything from the O-line perspective. So to me, everything offensive line perspective is definitely tilted towards the defense. Yeah, from the secondary, I mean, there is the element of that. You know, again, from my perspective, it always felt like we were like a day behind the defense because we didn't know what blitzes they were putting in. We didn't know, you know, this or that. So, you know, you go up against Spags and he throws in these four new blitzes and you got to kind of just apply your rules on the fly and know what they are and then come over to the sideline. All right, they're doing this. If, you know, 32 rules this way, then they're going to do that. And if these guys are aligned here, you know, if they put Frank and Chris on the same side, then the pressure's coming from the other way. So it's figuring that out on the fly, which is a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy that. But then, you know, that practice film, those meetings after, you're talking about how to defeat that blitz. You know, what happens if they run this pressure? And then the next day they got four new pressures and you're not really prepared for it. You know, going into an NFL game, for the most part, you kind of know what the defense is going to do. They'll throw a new wrinkle in or two, but there's a long enough period of time you can adjust to it. And so I always felt like we were behind again from that perspective. I can see how the DBs would feel like they're very behind in terms of what, you know, Pat and Trav and Tyreek and those guys are throwing at them. So it makes sense from maybe the secondary perspective that, you know, the skill guys have a bit of an advantage, especially like you said, they can't probably be as physical as they want to. They can't, you know, punish guys for going over the middle. They can't, you know, kind of hit guys, you know, who should have it coming to them in a game situation. So that does make sense.
What's the camaraderie like? Because I know you guys stay together in the same hotel, you know, the Saturday leading into the game or Sunday leading to a Monday game, but you guys don't stay prolonged together for 2-3 weeks at a time, really at any other period over the course of the year other than this. What's the camaraderie like, kind of the team building? What's the team kind of doing? What are you guys doing amongst yourselves to kind of build that camaraderie leading into the season?
Well, for the most part, you're kind of always with, you know, teammates. And so I think that's one of the big reasons coach likes going away for camp. He always has his... You're more secluded. There's less distractions, less family around, less other things. I mean, camp's only 3 weeks. It's not that much time in the grand scheme of things. And so being able to, you know, kind of sacrifice and going up there for those 3 weeks and, you know, getting really close with your teammates is a big advantage. But, you know, throughout the day, for me, it's, you know, you're going to practice, you're eating the meal with your friends. I would go back and take a nap. So obviously I didn't nap with my teammates, but then you come back, you know, you're meeting again, you're doing other stuff. And it's just this continuous cycle of hanging out with your buddies. And then, you know, if you do go back to your dorm, maybe there's a little bit of extra time, you know, you're right down the hall from your friends and, hey, you know, come here, we'll play this video game. We'll watch Wiley rip open packs of cards, you know, we'll do all these other things. And so you're just always around your teammates, and the things you're going to do are with your teammates instead of if you were, you know, going home every night or going somewhere else where you'd be doing it with your family or with other people.
That's what I always say about college, and it's kind of very similar. Like, you go away to college and you're around these people. Is the thing I miss most about college is all my friends were like around the corner, like down the hall. Like, you didn't have to worry about them needing a babysitter or doing these certain things. You could do it. So in a football sense, it seems to me, I could be wrong, like during the season, you guys are kind of segmented by the offensive line's on this side, the wide receivers are on this side. Like, this is kind of the one time where you guys are in this environment, in this exact same situation for a real prolonged period of time. And to me, that's sort of the building the foundation. And with this team, not a lot of turnover, mostly the same guys, at least for the last couple of seasons. Like, this is sort of the building the foundation to hopefully you guys winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you're spending more time with the defense in general, whether it's, you know, you're all in the ice tub together after practice and you're kind of making jokes about what happened that practice or whatever else. I mean, the meal room, it's a more relaxed and prolonged, you know, meal experience. So you're able to hang out with more people there. You're just, like you said, around each other longer for more duration. I would say, you know, there's still the overlapping during the season. So it's not necessarily that you don't see them or you don't hang out quite as much. But, yeah, when you're spending 3 weeks with someone, and I guess now it's 11-hour days, not, you know, 12, 13, 14-hour days, you know, you just tend to get to know them a lot better, and it's a really cool experience.
Who was the veteran that sort of got you over the hump your first training camp? So you were a young player. Who was the guy that sort of took you under their wing and helped you get through your first 3 weeks?
Well, it was kind of a combination of, you know, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, John Greco. You know, I'd played with Alex in college, so I knew him. But I also got to be good friends with Joe and John in that OTA period. So just having guys who are, you know, all pros, you know, pro bowlers, really good people, they're always there for you. So if it's, hey, what do you do during this 1.5 hours? Are you going back to the hotel? Are you going to stay here? You know, just kind of those little things that you pick up on that, you know, you realize what you should be doing throughout the day. You know, hey, I had a bad practice. You know, what should I do now? You know, those guys were awesome.
This is a complete side note, but Pat's probably the best player you've played with. By the end of it, he'll probably go down as the best player. Joe Thomas might be second. Like, if you look at Joe Thomas's career and what he's accomplished, Kelsey's had a great career. Hill's a great player. I think Tyrann Mathieu had the chance to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, when you look at Joe Thomas and what he's accomplished, he might have the second best resume of any player you played with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Trav's going to be up there, though, by the time it's all said and done. I mean, he'll be a top three tight end, if not higher, right? So the question gets to be, is Joe a top three left tackle? In terms of just pure resumes, I mean, Joe's is pretty unassailable. You know, he played 11 years in the first 10, you know, 10 seasons, 10 all pros, 10 Pro Bowls, over 10,000, you know, consecutive snaps. So that is going to be tough to beat. I guess we'll see when Kelsey gets all settled.
I mean, yo, you're right. Kelsey's, when you think about, and the amount of great tight ends there are in the NFL, there's not nearly as many. There's maybe four that you would deem to be on that level. And, I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago with Kelsey. Kelsey right now is in a string of, you can put these last four offensive seasons together against any tight end from any era and any pass catcher, really, of any era, especially last year. Like, last year was as good of a pass catcher as you could be in the league. He was dominant last year.
Yeah, the thing with, I mean, you always have to adjust for the offensive numbers, right? So, I mean, when you're looking at Tony Gonzalez or guys who played, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the offense is just so much different. I mean, we've got so many quarterbacks throwing for 5,000 yards now, and what Drew Brees did it like six times or something, and everyone else combined had only done it so many times. So there is a little bit of that element of you got to adjust. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at what Trav is doing compared to like the other tight ends, that is pretty impressive because he's at the top every year. It's consistent. He's healthy. He's durable. You know, he really transforms an offense to a degree that I think some of the other guys couldn't. There are obviously really good tight ends and really good players out there, but the stuff he allows this offense to do really takes it to the next level. And it's just cool to see, and obviously get to know him and be part of it and kind of see the inner workings of him every day is very, very cool.
I've always wanted to ask an NFL player this, and I just popped in my head. What is a distraction? Because I feel like media people like myself, we throw out this word, like we don't want this thing to be a distraction or this player to be a distraction. And you talked about like getting away from distractions. And I understand in a training camp sense where if you go home every day at five, how you're not 100% locked in and how Andy wants to take you away, put you in a certain environment where football is the only thing. It's the main thing while you're there. In terms of contract negotiations for yourself, contract negotiations for other players, potential holdouts, what would an NFL player deem a distraction to be? Are there distractions to what you're trying to do?
It depends how you compartmentalize. You know, some guys, like for them, they just need to have a contract locked up and, you know, first day of training camp, either extend me or don't. And they can't handle, you know, trying to think about the financial future while they're getting ready for the season and going through training camp. You know, some guys need to know that, you know, whether it's by the first week of the season. And, you know, some guys, it's stuff at home that's getting on your mind. I mean, for the most part, your family situation is always going to be a distraction if it's negative, right? If you have, you know, a wife who's sick at home, kids who are sick, something's going on, there's, you know, issues, you're stressed at home, you're not sleeping well, all those things, that's always going to be something you're thinking about throughout the day. In terms of, you know, immediate distraction, you know, it's kind of funny because it's a little bit of that cycle where, you know, a guy like, you know, say Tebow, you know, people say, oh, he's a distraction and, you know, having him around is a distraction. Well, the media says, oh, it shouldn't be a distraction, whatever. But like the distraction from our end is being asked about that every day. And so in a weird way, they're kind of creating the distraction for us because if we just didn't get asked about this specific topic, well, it wouldn't be a distraction. So when you kind of see that stuff and, you know, you don't want this guy to be a distraction, you don't want that guy to be, it's only a distraction from the player's end when you get asked about it a lot. And so if there's something that gets asked about, you know, often and daily, and you can't just go to your locker during media time and be left alone, they have to ask you about that specific thing, you know, that's when that other situation becomes a distraction for you personally.
From a contract negotiation standpoint, I honestly don't got to talk specifics about anything. Is it really on a case by case, like how involved some people are going to be? So when you're negotiating your deal and you're in the process of leaving Cleveland and coming to Kansas City, are you constantly talking with your agent to, hey, these are the cities I want to go to, this is the money I want to sign for, or is it simply, hey, you handle it, I'm working out, I'm focused on football, whenever the team is, whatever the team is, they've offered me the most money, present it to me, and then we'll have a conversation about it. What's it like to negotiate? We're talking not chump change, we're talking life-changing kind of money. What's a player's involvement in that kind of process?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a misnomer for free agency that, you know, you get to choose your teams and, oh, I want to play in New York or I want to play in L.A. or wherever else. I mean, for the most part, there's only going to be two, three, four teams that are interested in you for the price that you want. I mean, everyone has a price that they want to get to. For the most part, it's, you know, I want to play for $10 million. Well, I can't just go to New York and say, all right, I want to play here for $10 million. And they're going to say, all right, well, we already have a right tackle and we don't want you. So for free agency specifically, you almost have to wait and see what teams are interested in you. You know, you have an idea of the market. You have an idea of how much you want to make. It's typically an increase over, you know, the top guy at the position, assuming you're the top guy at your position. If you're negotiating with your team, you know, kind of throughout the year for an extension, that's when it gets different because typically, you know, those are done, you know, kind of right before the season. Those are done like a month before the end of the season, which players should never do because they're basically just using the scare of you getting hurt that month before free agency to try to lock something up. You know, some cases it gets done in the offseason, obviously, but if it's happening during the season, guys, you know, you're only negotiating with your own team. So there's not that element of, all right, go play, you know, them against this team and, you know, try to work a deal. You kind of have the number in mind that you want. You have the number in mind you're willing to settle for. You know, you got to trust your agent at that point to, you know, kind of play chicken and make them think that you're willing to hit free agency or to walk.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll let you get the opportunity to ask Mitch some questions, 913-576-7610. Before we get to people's questions, and I certainly want to give people an opportunity, the top story in the NFL is vaccinations, and I saw the Chiefs were at 90%. I was reading Peter King earlier this morning, and he was kind of going through some of the different feelings in the league, anonymous, on the record, when it comes to vaccinations. From people that you talk to, what do you think the general perception among players are when it comes to, not everybody feels the same way about being vaccinated. I saw on your Twitter, you're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. Rob is, but not everybody wants to be vaccinated. What do you get the sense from the players in terms of how they feel and handling that as we inch toward the season?
Yeah, I think part of the issue is people make their judgments based off of obviously media. You know, so much of what's been going on vaccine wise in the past year and a half has been political. It's been very this or that, you know. In terms of the athlete, when you look at, you know, one thing I saw on Twitter, this isn't my thought, so I'm not going to take credit for it, but, you know, you think about a guy hurting his ankle, you know, the first thing he's going to do is get that MRI or that x-ray sent to Dr. Anderson and sent to this guy. The team doctor is going to look at it. Dr. Anderson's going to look at it. This third doctor might look at it, and you're going to consult with, you know, two or three medical experts that you trust and then make a decision from there. I don't think guys are necessarily consulting with medical experts on what they think they should do for the vaccine. I think they have an opinion that I don't want to put that in my body. You know, I saw the story that, you know, people are having an adverse reaction to it, but I don't think they're seeking out second and third opinions like they would for, you know, a quote unquote normal football injury. So it's interesting that, you know, people have the mindset that when their body is not feeling right, they're going to seek out as many medical opinions as possible. There's almost no medical opinion I've seen so far that says the vaccine isn't worth taking. So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, it's surprising that more guys aren't getting it, let alone, you know, kind of what the season looks like for vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. And, you know, I think, you know, as is the case with most things, there's distrust, you know, from people who don't want to take it, don't know how it's going to, you know, go in their body and react, and don't trust government and, you know, these pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, there's very good reasons for that. So I understand all sides of it. I just think if guys who are unwilling to get it compare it to the process they go through to determine their own injuries, and from a football perspective, are they running that same process and trusting the experts in the field for the vaccine? And the answer to me would be no.
That's the biggest thing when it comes to vaccinations, when it comes to NFL players, is I would say in life, for the most part, there hasn't really been a penalty that's created for not being vaccinated. Like, it's a you choose. People might feel a certain way about it, but there's no real penalty if you choose to do it. I was talking to Rob about this. This big thing was getting these vaccination cards. Nobody has ever asked me about my vaccination card. I just have it. The NFL has created like a real penalty. Like, your team is at a competitive disadvantage if you choose not to be vaccinated. Your life is going to be miserable here if you choose to get vaccinated, where I think that's pressured a lot of players to do it, where it's like, all right, I'm kind of on the fence about it, but I want to play. I just don't want to go through all this. Okay, fine, I'll do it. And then I made this point last week. A lot of players, just if you think about how the NFL works, are not good enough to not be vaccinated. Sure, there's some elite players in the league that you're not going to get cut, or if you got cut, you'll instantly get picked up. But like 40% of the league just doesn't really fit in that category. So if you're a guy that's on the fringe of a roster one way or the other, and the deciding factor is player A has been vaccinated so he can be a part of all these things and player B is not vaccinated, they're going to choose player A 99 times out of 100. And I think that's what's really boosted the numbers, where I think by the end of this, we're going to see like 92% of NFL players are vaccinated by week one, just because you kind of got to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It does seem like, you know, the teams are going to want to get over that threshold, like you said, for, you know, a variety of reasons. They are going to have the guys who are uncuttable, who, if they choose to be not vaccinated, are going to, you know, not leave too many other slots for, you know, bottom of the roster or other guys to be not vaccinated. And, you know, it's a kind of sad reality of it, but that does seem like that's trending towards what's going to happen. So yeah, I mean, again, it just gets back to, you know, whether you're willing to do it. I think, you know, what's also lost in this is that I think the messaging around vaccines, you know, needs to change a little bit from the larger perspective. I think people have this idea that you get it, you're fine, you're never gonna get COVID, there's no bad outcomes, whatever. You know, that's not the case. It makes it a lot more difficult for your body to get it, and then if you do get it, you know, you're going to have a lot better outcomes. You're not going to spread it as much. So I think people just think like, oh, well, this person got the vaccine and he tested positive, so why do I need it? You know, I'm going to get it anyway. And that messaging needs to change. People need to understand what the vaccines are actually doing, you know, how they're, you know, impacting you both in terms of not getting it and the good outcomes when you do get it.
Coming up on the other side, we'll let you ask your questions. 913-576-7610. Hashtag Ask Mitch. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We're very happy to be joined by our guest in studio, Mitchell Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, hanging out with us for the 4 o'clock hour. I have asked almost all the questions I have in my small little brain. We will give you the opportunity to ask questions. 913-576-7610. Rob, hit it. This actually first question is from me. What is your favorite heist movie?
Wow.
I just watched Inside Man last night, so I got like heist
Inside
on the
Man
mind.
Inside Man is awesome. But probably Ocean's 11. I think that's like the classic one for me.
Rob, what's your favorite heist movie? You seem like an Italian Job guy.
I love the Italian. I was about to say the Italian Job. It's such a good movie. It's great.
I mean, it's impossible to love it. That's just like... that's like me, my favorite movie is Scarface. Like, can you really love movies if Scarface is your favorite movie? Everybody's favorite heist movie is Italian Job.
Then Ocean's 13. I love Ocean's 13, too.
That's a good one, but to me, 11's like the classic one.
I mean, I agree, but I can't say the same answer. That's lame. I got to have something new.
Well, you took Italian Job.
Yeah, he took a lame answer. Text line 913-576-7610. You got a question for Mitch. I'll ask it for you. T-bone, KC strip, or ribeye?
Right now, I'd say strip. I feel like it's kind of the best combination. It's almost in between like filet and ribeye. There are times it trends towards ribeye. Just depends if you got the right one. But sometimes ribeye is like a little too fatty for me. So strip's kind of a good medium. The good fat content also can be lean and just pretty tasty.
When you think about your life, you've done like a lot of really cool things. Like you went to a great university. You got a great degree. You're building a house. You won a Super Bowl. The thing people most associate with you is food. When you think about that, that's a great accomplishment there. Think, everybody eats. Everybody has an opinion on food. You become food guy of Kansas City.
That's true. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I will say that you can trust me because I don't really talk definitively on things unless I've, you know, kind of done the research, done the testing. So I'll always try to lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, just like what Rob was saying when he was talking about Italian Job, everybody likes to go out to eat. Like, that's not a hobby that's, like, unique to any person. Everybody likes going to a nice restaurant. You've become the de facto Yelp guy. That's who you are. You're Yelp.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'll take it.
Text line 913-576-7610. This is actually a good question. Why did you choose the offensive line and not the defensive line?
I played D-line for a couple years, and it was just not my cup of tea. I'm like a preparer, so I like to know what's going to happen. And I feel like on D-line, it's all reactionary. I also just sucked. I wasn't very good. Defensive tackles are not typically my size and my lack of skill and speed and athleticism. So I probably would have got forced there athletically anyway.
I've been around you enough to know you don't seem crazy enough to play D-line. O-line vibe. D-linemen are different breed. Mentally, they're different breeds. You got a perfect O-line, the way you think, the way you, your interests. D-linemen aren't like that.
Yeah, that's true. I think you got to be a little bit crazy, and I don't have that specific brand of crazy.
Text line 913-576-7610. Okay, this is your perfect person to ask this. So they did a 10 restaurants in Kansas City that you have to go to. Have you ever heard of Kitty's Cafe?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I definitely have not been there.
Okay, not been there before. Okay, Rob, if you can pull up that list, pull up the list of the 10 restaurants. I'll have Rob, and he'll tell you the 10 restaurants. And I want you to say which ones you agree with, or if you have to swap one out for something. We'll do that.
See, I probably won't have been to as many of those as you think, because, I mean, I live in South Overland Park, and it's not my favorite thing to drive, like, 35 minutes to all these places and try them. So I'm starting to get more adventurous. Like you said, I have a lot more time on my hands currently, so we are starting to go try these places a little bit more, so we'll see.
If we get, like, a sponsor, can me and you do a video series where we just go around the city and eat and you give your opinion of it? Like, if we get somebody
in
else...
In what universe am I saying no to that?
Okay, I know you might not want to do it. I don't know if you want to hang out with me, like, outside of work, but... I'll get it, and
that's a very fair point.
I'm also assuming that, like, money isn't, like, a motivating, like, you're not moving to do things because of it. Like, this isn't gonna be like workout bonus money.
This is a passion project.
Okay, yeah, a passion project, a real passion project for me. Just you get to eat food. All right, Rob, tell Mitch what the ones were.
All right, the first one was Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, Oklahoma Joe's.
Yeah, I get that.
Dixon's Famous Chili Parlor.
Yep, haven't been there.
That's way you live like an hour from Dixon's Famous Chili. Yeah.
We mentioned Kitty's Cafe. Minsky's. Have you had Minsky's?
That's number four.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the I didn't make the list. I'm just telling you.
Is it just
list.
Like volume of food sales, or is it like.
It's like a unique to Kansas City. So Minsky's.
Okay.
This might be a Kansas City unpopular opinion, what you just said about Minsky's.
I mean, I don't think it's the fourth best restaurant in all of Kansas City.
I think this is just the top 10.
It's just top 10, yeah.
You got to make it. I don't think it's like number four on their list. I think it's just. These are the 10 you got to go to.
Okay.
That's what I think. I could be wrong. That's what I think, though.
Peachtree.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to say, if you haven't been to Peachtree, we can go to Peachtree at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Right,
we can 6:01.
I like that one. That's a good one.
We might replay this last hour and just go to Peachtree at 5 o'clock.
The Peanut.
Yeah, so I don't like massive wings, so I know people go nuts for them, but to me, I kind of like a little bit smaller chicken. It's good, though. I like it being on the list.
Stroud's.
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Town Topic.
That one I haven't been to, but since Coach says that's his favorite cheeseburger, it's got to be on there.
In a Tub for the tacos.
Have not been there.
And then the Chicken Spadini at Garozzo's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like I haven't been there in a bit, but I feel like you have to order the right one with the right sauce.
Add there's two. Like, add two restaurants to that list. You don't got to take any of them off. Add two restaurants to that list.
Wow, a lot of pressure. I really love Paros. It's in Leawood. It's a Greek place. It's just like a cool local spot. It's this woman, Cozy. She has Cozy's Cafe too, but it's just like her authentic cooking, and it's just really good place to eat. Everything on there is fantastic. They have a lot of Greek stuff. They also have some American stuff for more mass appeal. And then a second one, I mean, I think, you know, Q39 or, you know, Jack Stack should be on there. I'm not sure why there's only one barbecue place on there. I guess two, right? There's Joe's and Peachtree, so there's two places on there, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're going barbecue, you got to have more than just two places, and I feel like Kansas City's known for its barbecue, so there's a lot of good ones, but I tend to go to Q39 or Jack Stack.
Someone wants to know, what's your favorite local brewery?
I don't really drink beer, so, you know, I feel like people would say Boulevard. So that's what I'd recommend. And I've been there. I've taken some friends there, and they've had a good experience. So I guess I'd have to go with that.
Oh, someone said, CDOT, please ask Mitch what his review was of Joe's Barbecue. You said you blocked me over it. I did threaten this guy. I don't ever block people before, but he said that the Z-Man was gross. That's an opinion. Like, you've lost the ability to text into the show. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I tell people I only block them for two reasons. You either say something racist or homophobic. I did block somebody for saying that Coming to America wasn't funny. That's just not a person I want to hear any of your other opinions. If you have that opinion, I don't want to hear any other opinion you have on anything.
Yeah, I think Joe's is good. Obviously, it's good barbecue. Yeah, the Z-Man doesn't suck. I don't imagine how anyone could think that. But to me, I guess I've always considered barbecue like all the meats. Like, I want brisket, I want pulled pork, I want ribs, I want sausage, I want chicken, I want turkey. So to like have a place that they're like, all right, you gotta get a sandwich, even though it's a barbecue sandwich, I think it's a little bit weird. Obviously, that's their signature. They've made it fantastic, but to me, I'm more of a smorgasbord kind of guy at a barbecue spot, and so I wasn't too enthused that like people are like, you gotta go get this sandwich at the barbecue place. But it's an awesome sandwich, so you gotta roll with it.
I'm gonna completely ask you a question that's unrelated to anything we've been talking about. I have suggested that Mike Tyson should be a celebrity host of Jeopardy. if you could just nominate one person to host Jeopardy for a week, who would you pick?
Yeah, that's so random. I can't even think about it. I'd have to recommend, like, one of my friends that nobody knows about that could just try to, you know, do an impersonation of someone else. I know a couple funny people that I think would be fantastic, and that would just basically turn it into a comedic output that they would just kind of make fun of people for their answers. I'd also try to pick someone in sports because I love when they have sports questions and people have no idea, and like the $200 question they just like don't know the answer to. So I want someone funny who like knows sports that could, you know, talk crap to him. My official answer would be stage name Peter McKenzie, but he's the dad of one of my friends. He's on Black-ish. He's one of the few white guys on Black-ish, so there is that. But he's top two, if not the funniest person I've ever met in my life, and he'd be a great host.
I have the idea for our show. This is what our show is going to be. I just came up with this. This is what we're going to do. All right, Rob, it's going to be us three. I want you to make a list of like 25 barbecue restaurants in the city that you haven't been to. We'll get them to give you like a rib, some pulled pork, some brisket, and then we'll just go down the line and then you'll give your thoughts.
Okay.
With like our barbecue tour.
Yeah.
I feel like we can pull this off. This seems like a really good summer project of us just going around the city and eating barbecue. I'm really
see
serious
not.
About doing this.
I also probably been to less barbecue spots than you think I should have been to, so I'd be excited to try all the new ones as well. My wife gets burnt out on barbecue, so this is a good excuse to go eat barbecue without her. Obviously, she would tag along, but you know, she gets a little burnt out if it's just the two of us, you know, ordering brisket and ribs and pulled pork all the time. So I'm down. That sounds like a plan.
All right, let's do it. Let's set this up, Rob. We'll set this up, and we'll just go around the city, and you'll just eat barbecue for a month, and it'll be amazing. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We also got to find local breweries, too. We just got to find local ones that you like.
Can you guys just, like, bring a treadmill on these trips so I just, like, don't balloon up to 350? Or
well, you think about it. We can eat barbecue in the afternoon and evening, and then you wake up early to work out every day.
That's true.
I'm not saying you got to eat a full platter of it, but so basically I told you during the break what we did was I took 80 movie suggestion. I took it from the text line. We could definitely find 20 barbecue places you haven't been to that's in the city.
I don't disagree with that at all.
And we taste them out, and then we get your opinion. Then at the end, we rank them, and okay. This is your official ranking.
I'm still on board with this.
I'm trying to help you be food guy better.
Okay, let's do it.
And also help me get food in the city. Like, I had to throw my, you can be food guy on your own, but you doing your own. Me and Rob aren't eating off that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm there. And we'll just order the quote-unquote normal amount of food, and I'll have two bites, and then I'll just give it to you guys, and that way you'll be my portion control.
This is perfect. I can't wait to do this. I'm really going to put this together. I'm going to put this in motion so we have our own television show.
All right.
All right. We still got to go to some random person's wedding, too. I'm signing you up for just hanging out with me all the time now. When you think about it, you're not going to play for a team. You're going to be on my team. We're just going to hang out all the time.
That's a different financial package than I'm used to, but, you know, the company makes it worth it.
Where'd this random wedding thing come from?
Oh, that's been a thing for a few months. He's been pushing it pretty hard, as you can tell, but he wants us to show up to someone's wedding and say hi, and I said, I'll show up and wave and walk away, and he can just talk to people on my behalf, and that's as far as I'll go.
Rob, all I wanted to do was we just randomly, you know how cool it would be if we just randomly showed up at some person's wedding? We don't gotta do anything else. Like, hey, it's a Chiefs player here at your wedding. You don't gotta speak, you just wave,
see,
you take a picture, and then we leave.
Rob is still laughing, it's been a solid minute, and it's this like incredulous laugh that he can't believe that this is a thing that's actually trying to be hashed in real life.
It's just a stunning
development.
I'm just
gonna keep signing you up for things. Every time you come in here, like last time I signed you up for a wedding, now we're having multiple dinners together. Who knows, next thing you know, we're gonna be like at your house watching film. You're just gonna break down the league to me. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I need to get a little film room set up and might have a spot for it in the new house, so I'm looking forward to it.
That is Mitchell Shorts joining us in studio today, man. Really good catching up with you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I'm eating barbecue. It's great. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.